Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lynn. How are you?
Hi, guys. Doing fine. Kind of a tough defeat last night, but it's a game the Cubs had won, maybe six or seven times over the previous couple of weeks. So every once in a while, that just doesn't go your way.
And you found Kyle Hendricks. That was wonderful. It's always a joy to see him, and now he looks like he's back and better than ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the best part of what ended up being a disappointing finish, is that the big picture is Kyle Hendricks was vintage last night. I thought his pitches all had that really good sinking movement. He threw a few extra curveballs to mix things up a little bit, and I thought it was really impressive. And it's too bad, again, that the Cubs lost a game in which he pitched so well. But if he continues to do that, that's going to pay huge dividends.
And last night after the game, he talked about, well, I know what's wrong. I've been working on it. And for whatever reason, it clicked in the third inning, and he was able to start repeating it. And you have eight strikeouts and some of those swinging on changeups, Len. And we were talking about this earlier in the show. Because he's the professor, because we as Cub fans have a history with him, we're willing to give him the time to figure it out and believe that he will figure it out. And then on the other side of that spectrum, maybe there's Tyler Chatwood, new to town, sold as a guy that you get him out of the altitude and he's going to be this unbelievable pitcher. And it hasn't really worked from day one. And now, you have fans booing him at Wrigley Field because there isn't that goodwill in the bank. I mean, it is Tyler Chatwood going to have to fight the confidence now and maybe the idea that as soon as things start to go south, people are going to be on him? Is that going to be an issue for him moving forward?
Yeah, Brian, it's a good point. I mean, on Kyle, number one, I totally agree that, he's earned this in a strange way. He's earned this rough patch because he hadn't had one as a big league pitcher, and the volume of work has been almost Hall of Fame-like over the last 4 years or so. And I think everyone was a little, shocked to see him struggle at that level for really over a month. His ERA was in the sixes. So you knew that it was just a matter of time before he put up a start like he did last night. The stuff was good. He's healthy. It just was trying to repeat those mechanics that are so important. In the case of Tyler Chatwood, I think he has a total understanding of how he's being perceived. But I don't think that's his top priority right now. I think his top priority is figuring out what is wrong. And I think Jim Hickey feels that way. I think the Cubs feel that way in general. Tyler's going to get one more start before the break. And, I think big changes might be coming if it doesn't improve in terms of some big mechanical change or the like, because we just haven't really seen a fundamental change in terms of the strike throwing. His first pitch the other day bounced in front of home plate, obviously had wild pitches that scored runs. The stuff is off the charts, but if you don't give the illusion of strikes and the scouting report is out there now to wait him out, that's a problem. And now he's getting hit. Earlier in the year, he was walking five, six, seven guys over five or six innings, but he was able to get that double play ball and get out of it. Or get a swing and a miss to get a strikeout. Lately, his mistakes have ended up in the seats, and that's when it's a real problem.
How would that happen, Len? Would you see him being shut down, being moved into the bullpen, being moved to a point where he just worked on that sort of mechanical change?
I don't know the answer to that, that's a good question for the pitching coach, Jim Hickey. I do think, having the break and also being able to maybe reconfigure the rotation, you could have a nice 10 to 14 day span where maybe you do some extra bullpen work. It's tough during the season though to make any sort of big change, and I don't know what that change would be. Obviously, the one thing they've done is that they've that glove tap, they've tried to eliminate that. The problem, as I see it, is that he's got some funk in his delivery, which gives him some deception, right? So I liken him a little bit in this regard to a right-handed version of Dontrell Willis, who at one point had real problems throwing strikes, but it was his deception and the fact that he didn't always repeat his delivery perfectly that made him so effective. So, you know, I know Jim Hickey would say, you know, you don't want to get rid of the thing that makes him good, and that is all the movement and the funk, so to speak, and the deception. But definitely something needs to be done to make sure he can throw the ball over the plate more consistently, especially when he's behind in the count and able to throw quality strikes.
And Len, we're all playing fantasy baseball, wondering if Manny Machado is still on the Cubs radar, whatever the front office may or may not do before the trade deadline. And then Joe O just reports that Ken Rosenthal is tweeting out that the Cubs have had internal conversations about an August move or a waiver wire deal move where you add someone like Adam Jones or Curtis Granderson, and that begs a question. If you're trying to get a leadership-type guy, do they perceive a lack of leadership in the clubhouse?
You know, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that you're just always looking at ways of maximizing your roster. Maybe that extra outfielder, if you feel like you need another bat off the bench, or if there's just one little thing you can do, whether it be, you know, to add power to your bench or add some speed, something like that. But I think in general, if the Cubs didn't make any moves, Brian, in terms of their position players, I think they feel really good about what they have. You know, the injury thing could happen, though, and I think you're always cognizant of that. You want to make sure you're covered in terms of depth. Infield depth, you feel great with David Bodie. He's been really impressive, and my guess is when Chris Bryant is ready to return, probably in the next day or two, Bodie might end up back at Triple-A, but you know, he's the first guy back when needed, and certainly when rosters expand in September, and he to me looks like a guy who would be very valuable on a playoff roster too. So yeah, I just think that they're going to make sure they cross all their T's and dot their I's position player wise, and then the rest of it's going to be make sure you don't miss out on an opportunity to add to your bullpen or even in your starting rotation in terms of depth.
We talked about it a little bit earlier how last night it's almost like Allen Hansen pulled a Baez on Baez. I mean, it was weird to see Javi kind of take a moment to peek, and then he sees he's going to third and maybe lost a little bit of his usual respect 90. And for an ultra-aggressive player, Hansen really pulled off something that we usually see from Javi.
Guys, we've seen that play three times in the last 2 days, and I don't know if I had seen it ever before. That is a base runner scoring from first when he probably should have ended up at third at the most. Billy Hamilton did it to Albert Almora on Sunday. Jason Hayward did it to Billy Hamilton on Sunday. And then Allen Hansen did it to the Cubs and Javier Baez last night. Yeah, I just think that at times there are assumptions based on how a play feels and where a runner should be, and all of a sudden you got to hurry, and the throw ends up being just slightly off the mark, and it costs you a run. And you know, I would not expect that to happen to Javi again. Sometimes you learn that lesson the hard way, and certainly nobody's perfect. But that was a very strange play, and now we've seen it three times in 2 days, and we might not see that play again all year or the next 2 or 3 years, right? That's how
the beauty of baseball
works.
Yeah,
when do you think the next time we'll see the Joey Votto play at first base?
Oh, man.
I've never seen that.
Not from a guy like that anyway, and not, never really, but you know, he's usually sure-handed in everything he does.
Something
absolutely.
Else. Thanks for getting up with us. We appreciate it, buddy.
Always a pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you during the break next week.
Thanks, Len.
All right, that is Len Casper.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.